Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes. With Alma Togan, June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and Chino, all inviting you to...
Jimmy, I don't like bothering you with my personal problems, but it's getting a bit desperate. What has happened is, I've had a check returned from the bank marked refer to draw.
Oh, that's serious. What did you do?
Took the only course possible. Wrote them a very curt note pointing out that as a BBC comedian, I am not allowed to refer to draws.
Oh. Well, anyway, well played, Bentley. But this is only the result of your extravagant living, you know.
Oh, ridiculous.
Oh, yes, it is. Now, look at last week. And out you went and bought yourself a zebra skin hot water bottle cover.
It happens to be very practical. Mink is too hot to sit on.
Oh, it makes your blood boil.
Not if you keep it outside your pajamas. Jimmy, you've got to help me. Lend me £18.
What?
Do you think I like doing this? Do you think I'd stand up here and ask for money if there's any other way of getting it? There isn't. I know. I've been through your Mac pockets twice. And your euphonium case.
What? You dare to tamper with my euphonium case? If you've shaken up that bottle of beer, my word. Look, Bentley, why should I loan you my hard-earned ackers? I've worked hard. I've worked hard for my little bit. Yes. And she's had quite a struggle, too.
Jimmy, please. Do try and control your coarse remarks a little. Forget I ever mentioned the matter.
Well, anyway, if my dear chap, my cash is all tied up in my farm. Every penny goes towards producing better beef, creamier milk, and a higher grade of top-quality bacon for Britain's breakfast tables.
Look, just give me the money. Never mind the commercials.
I haven't got the money. I'm trying to get it into your thick noodle. I tell you what, I'll see if I can raise it for you amongst the cast.
Good.
Oh, Alma.
Yes, dear?
Alma, my dear, an old admirer of yours, finds himself temporarily short of £18.
18?
Yes, dear. I'm asking you to help because, well, I mean, you have been out with Dick Bentley, haven't you?
Oh, no, I tore this dress on a nail.
Jimmy, how much more of my private life is going to be dragged through the mire? I'll find the money myself. I'll economize. I'll give up my rolls.
What rolls?
My cheese rolls. I'll do without my 11s.
Excuse me, Mr. Bentley.
Oh, please, David, not now. I'm rather busy.
But it's about June Whitfield's wedding present. The cast didn't have time to buy her anything, so we thought perhaps you'd just present her with the money we collected. Here it is, exactly £18.
What? Hey, £18. Quick, take it and run, Bentley.
No, Jim, no. Jim, do you think I'm so lost to all sense of shame that I'd take this money and deprive our little June of a nice wedding present? Never. Not this. I wouldn't. June!
Coming.
But Bentley...
Please, Jimmy. June, on behalf of the entire cast, I want you to accept this. It's something which I could have done with very badly, but, well, take it. Use it wisely.
Oh, Dick, how wonderful. Oh, look, everybody.
Well, what is it?
Oh, a zebra skin hot water bottle cup.
Oh, thank you.
When you're too tense, it's common sense to relax. The more you learn, the less you learn to relax. Try to relax, 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 relax. Your doctor fills them off the pills to relax. You're in your prime, so now's the time to relax. The girls with you, those fellas who can relax. Relax, 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 relax. As a drum.
I'm as loose as a drum.
You're as gay as a tune.
I'm as light as a drum.
Better loosen up, chum. Your drum.
is apt to snap and go. And when you go, they'll take your dough for the taxi boo. Relax, they boo. Get your sneakers and slacks. Relax, they boo.
When you're too tense, it's common sense to relax, they boo. The more you earn, the less you learn to relax, they boo. The rent you'll find, the more inclined to relax, they boo.
Relax, 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 and when you go, they'll take your dough for the taxi. Relax, the gold you piled up in stacks will melt like pieces of wax. I hope you dig the max. Relax, 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 relax,
thank you. That was, as ever, the keynotes. And so to the Glums. You remember that gay S-loving Ron and gay Ron-loving S were lent some money to start a small sweet shop. Well, things are going well. The shop is nearly ready, and the stock of sweets has been delivered to the Glum residence. So, over to the Glums.
Oh, Ron. Look at this parlor, sweets everywhere. Oh, I will be glad when we can take them down to the shop, won't you, Ron?
No, that won't be right.
Oh, Ron, how are we going to make a profit if you keep on eating the stock? Oh, look at this box we're supposed to sell to the public. Every single whipped cream walnut has got your teeth marked in it.
I only bit the walnuts off, Beth. The other parts hardly touched.
But, Ron, dearest, what good is a whipped cream walnut without its walnut? It becomes meaningless. Oh, Ron, you must remember, you're a businessman now.
I know, Eth.
Oh, dear, there's so much to do, I don't know whether I'm on my head or my heels.
You're on your Montpelier drops, Eth.
Oh, why didn't you tell me they were on the sofa? Oh, dear, I don't know where anything's got to. Now, what happened to that jar of lemonade powder?
What jar's that, Eth?
Well, the jar with the yellow crystals, Ron.
Ah. I didn't know that was lemonade powder.
Well, of course it's lemon... Ron, what did you do with it?
I thought it was bath salt. I used it for my Sunday stand-up wash.
Oh, Ron, sometimes you're just impossible.
Yes. Why are you talking to me in your cross voice?
Because, well, Ron, what with the lemonade powder and the whipped cream walnuts, well, Ron, I... Oh, please, beloved, promise me you'll try and be more helpful. Will you, Ron?
All right, well, I'm fine.
Oh, Ron, you're doing it again. Oh, dear, and it's the caramels this time. Oh, I give up. Oh, you just go ahead and ruin us, Ron Glum. Go on. If you want to nibble everything in sight, go ahead.
Right, are
we? Oh, I didn't mean that, Ron.
Go on, my sweet. Just a kiss.
Oh, no, yes. Ron. Please. Oh, you're dribbling caramel all over my princess.
Hello, hello, hello. Here, Eth, pop this packet of marshmallows back into stock, will you?
Oh.
I just wanted to see what the old motorbike would feel like with a foam rubber saddle.
Oh, you as well, Mr. Glum.
Eh?
Oh, it really is a bit much.
What's that?
Well, it's my father's hard-earned money you Glums are eating and bathing in and sitting on.
Well, now, Eth, there's no need to take it that way. You're a bit overrun.
Oh.
Here, just calm down and take it easy, your mouth. Here, Have one of these wine jars.
Oh, no! Oh, dear, we've got to have something left to sell. Oh, and I'm ever so worried about the shop, Mr. Glum. Still looks ever so gloomy inside.
Oh, yeah, but remember, it was previously an undertaker's, eh?
You know, I thought behind the counter we might have one of those modern wallpapers.
Oh.
That one you got in your kitchen's nice.
Which one's that?
Well, it's the cream with the design of red polka dots.
Yes, well, of course, they ain't exactly red polka dots, you know. Mrs. Glum was eating a plate of tomato soup and she sneezed. She come over with her hay fever all of a sudden and sneezed, you see. Yeah. She gets took, you know, it's the aroma, yeah. Now, let's see, what else will you be needing of? A toffee hammer to bash up the toffee?
Yes.
A set of scales with the appropriate weight?
Oh, we've got those, Mr. Glum. My uncle's given us the set from his shop.
Oh, they're quite unsuitable, if I tested them. Do you know the 4 ounce weight weighs nearly a quarter of a pound? Now, what else is there?
I want a ding-ding, Dad.
Well... Wrong. Really, I mean in front of Ed.
Mr. Glum, he means a bell over the door.
Oh, really?
Yes.
When I said me and Mrs. Glum was prepared to help you, it was no idle threat, you know. I meant we were prepared to give our all.
But you've got your bike in our all, Dad.
Rob.
Yes.
Not all. All. Don't you understand English?
Thank you.
Mrs. Glum is at this moment making for you two, in the kitchen copper, no less than 28 pounds of her famous recipe, Mother Glum's old-fashioned toffee.
Oh, Mr. Glum, that should smell like wildfire. What's in this recipe?
Only Mother Glum knows that. I don't want to disturb her now by asking, you see, because she's standing on a box, as you might say, stirring it in a manner of speaking. Bit of a tricky operation, you know. Come on, I'll have a go. She heard me. I'm sorry to disturb you, my darling old toffee mixer. But could you let us know exactly what goes into that mixture? You is now a stirring off with the coal shovel. Well, thank you for your explanation, my sweetest.
Well, Dad, what does Mother Glum's old-fashioned toffee contain?
Well, at the moment, it contains Mother Glum.
Don't stay away too long. Don't stay away too long. I'm writing you today to say, don't stay away too long. I miss your smiling face. I miss you warm and brave. I never knew that loving you could make me blue so long. I'm glad to see that you're having a gay time. Glad that you're seeing the time. I can get by in the daytime. But oh, those nights, the hours drag along. I'm writing you today to say, don't stay away too long. I'm glad to see that you're having a gay time. Glad that you're seeing the signs. Oh, I can get by in the daytime. But oh, the nights drag along. Plain to see what's wrong. I'm writing you today to say, don't stay away too long.
here, Jinx.
What's your wall?
Sorry I'm late getting here, but I had to have a doctor for the wife. Oh, we had a dreadful accident in the bath, she did. Got her big toe caught in the plug hole.
Oh, terrible, terrible. What does the doctor say?
Oh, he thinks he can pull her through. What a thing to happen in my bathroom, eh? A fine idea, do, ain't it?
I don't know. I've never been in your bathroom. Well, I thought you'd sorted out your troubles when you joined the BBC staff.
What? You know what department of BBC shifting me to now?
No.
Classical music. Me. I can't tell poet and peasant from Rowitz and Landauer. But just the same, I'll get in the office this morning. They're on the pads a message requesting me to ring Tchaikovsky.
Oh, that can't have been.
It was. Give me the telephone number, too. Overture 1812.
Oh, well, that's the 1812 overture.
You know, I never heard of some of these here classical pieces. You look at them. Purcell's Crumpet Voluntary. Duros and Cauliflower. Schubert's Unfurnished Symphony. It's all like a foreign language. Here, Jim, you've got to give me a hand. I've got to put an opera next week.
Opera?
Yeah, you know, one of them shows where a bloke gets stabbed and instead of bleeding, he sings. I'm lost, Jim.
Anyway, I'd recommend you to try Madame Butterfly.
No idea.
It has a very delicate, wistful story, you know, about a Japanese maiden and her hopeless love for Lieutenant Harry Pinkerton. As a matter of fact, we'll do the story for you now, so you can see how dead classical it is.
Act One, Japan, 50 years ago. In a house overlooking the bay, a fat, venerable old Japanese sits cross-legged, contemplating his novel. At his side is his graceful, doe-eyed daughter, Coco San, the one they call Butterfly. She sits with downcast eyes, fluttering her fan. The old one speaks.
Graceful, doe-eyed daughter.
Yes, fat, venerable old dad.
Every time you flutter your honorable fan, it blows over the pages of my dishonorable novel. I would point out that it's hard enough as it is, reading from right to left.
Humblest apologies, irascible parent.
All right, unirascible daughter. Let's have no more. I'll go back to lover Chatterley's lady. Now what is it? She's snivelling there. Verily, Coco-san, you're beginning to get on my oriental wick. Coco-san, what is the matter?
Oh, do not chide me, honorable father. Your Coco-san is a very depressed butterfly of late. Have you not observed my size?
Well, it's your own fault for eating so much. You've worn those chopsticks down to a splinter, you have. Never let them alone, always at it.
I meant my size.
Oh, I see. Deep breathing.
Father, you know that American gunboat which is here on a goodwill visit?
Know it? It's the talk of the geisha house. Butterfly, don't tell me you've been going out with an American sailor. Come on now, don't turn your head away.
He loves me and I love him. His name is Lieutenant Harry Pinkerton and his voice is as the murmur of turtle dove.
Hey, Butterfly! Where are you, babe? Fuck her up, kid. It's me, Beefcake.
It is he. Look, oh, Father, is he not handsome in his uniform?
Ah, there you are, Butterfly. Hi there, doll. I bring you salutations and chewing gum.
Oh, Pinky, but you told me you were not coming ashore today.
Well, I wasn't due to, but I was inspecting a gun barrel and somebody leant against the trigger. Gee, Butterfly, you look real keen. Come here, gorgeous. Stand by for a kiss that'll scorch the dragon off your kimono.
One moment, honorable sir.
Say, Bay, who's the conjurer?
I am not a conjurer. These are my traditional Japanese robes. So kindly cease taking the Mikado. Butterfly! You are neglecting the traditional Japanese hospitality drill. Offer the gent a saucer of tea.
Immediately. Beloved Pinkerton, would you like it scented?
No, thanks. I'll drink it here.
Then into the kitchen with you, Butterfly.
Yes, Venerable Father.
Now, esteemed Pinkerton, I would like to know your intentions regarding my daughter.
Look, old-timer, don't worry about a thing. I assure you my intentions are strictly horrible.
I pray it be so. But I have forebodings. Today I consulted the soothsayer.
What did the soothsayer say?
Sooth. That's all he ever does say. I don't know why I go to him, really. It's just half a yen down the drain.
Sir, I don't want you should feel that way. I love your butterfly. But, well, I don't know what to do.
Really? How long have you been an American sailor?
I didn't quite mean that, sir. What I meant was I gotta leave Japan.
Oh?
My battleship has been ordered to return to San Francisco urgently.
Oh, so?
Yeah. The officer's ice cream bar is fresh out of strawberry flavor. But I mean to marry Butterfly. So one day, I'll be back.
Keep talk now, please. Oriental tea up.
I will leave you lovers to yourselves. Goodbye, esteemed Pinkerton. And as we say in Japan, even if it's only a postcard.
Farewell. Oh, Harry, what is this farewell talk?
I got bad news for you, kid. You know what that is?
Honorable Father blowing his nose?
No. It's my ship.
The Misery.
It's pronounced Missouri. They're hooting for me to come back where we're pulling out, Coco San.
Oh, no.
Don't cry, Coco San. Don't cry. You're shrinking my medal ribbon.
But you will come back to your little Japanese sweetheart?
Sure, I'll be back, baby. And when I do, I promise you something. For you and me, it'll be old shoes and rice.
Oh, my favorite summer. Oh, Harry. Harry, don't go.
I must. They can't leave without me. I've got the ignition key.
One last kiss.
Sure, baby. Shut up! I'll come when I'm good and ready. Nobody pushes Pinkerton around, baby.
Oh.
Coming, sir.
So he left, and slowly the months passed. July, June, May, April, March. Even the calendar reads from right to left out here. 6 years later, Butterfly was still waiting on the brow of the hillock.
He will come, he will come. One fine day you'll notice a thread of smoke arising on the sea, on the far horizon, and then the ship appearing.
Not on your nippanese, Nelly. I keep telling you, he was giving you the Madam Butterfly. Supposing you turn in this waiting lark. Let's go out for the evening. I've got 2 tickets for the Fujiyama game. Hello. Me thought I heard a ship's hooter. What's that? And who's that coming up the hill?
Pinkerton. Can you guess what he'll say? He will call Butterfly from the distance. I, without answering, hold myself quietly concealed, a bit to tease him, and a bit so as not to do.
What's up?
He's got a wife and kids with him.
And as I explained, sir, I've now got a wife and 4 kids.
Well, then what do you want to see Butterfly for?
I want to ask her to release me from our engagement.
This is a bad thing you have done, Harry Pinkerton. There should be some way to restrain you American sailors. Some form of gobstopper. Are you not ashamed?
See, I don't know. Now I'm sitting here cross-legged. I do feel a heel.
Well, wiggle a bit. Ah, wait. Here comes Butterfly now.
Gee, look. She's carrying a little bundle.
Yes, it is a rice pudding.
A rice pudding?
The ceremonial dish one eats before committing Harry Carey.
Not Harry Carey. Oh, no, you mustn't commit Harry Carey just because you can't marry Harry.
I must. Here, Honorable Father, take the ceremonial dagger. Dear esteemed parent, would you plunge the knife into me?
Well, I'll have a stab at it.
Let me stand beside the one who broke the heart of Butterfly. Now, Father, now I am beside him. Plunge the knife deep.
Right.
Hey, you're stuck it in me.
Well, I warned you, in Japan, we always read from right to left.
Charles Chapel and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. There is involved with Dick Benson and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Elmer Cogan, June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the keynote.
The announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...